Hope you've experienced that grace. I sure hope you have. No comparison, nothing like it. So today, 11 years ago, in about 5 hours, I became a dad. Isaiah turned 11 today. That was quite an event in our lives. He's not 11 yet. He'll be 11 at about 5:15 or so. Everybody get a bulletin. There is a handout in there called Montgomery's Mission. If you did not get one, please raise your hand. I need to make sure you get one. Raise them up high. Okay, Isaiah, Jeremiah, go help. There's plenty. I have plenty, so please take them. This is going to last for a while, so just please hang on to them. Put them in your Bible. Don't lose them. Just two? Is there any more? Kitty needs one up here, Jeremiah. Is that it? Okay. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's this thing going around called COVID, and it really messed things up. It messed up plans. It just threw a monkey wrench into everything. Or maybe you've been living in some cave somewhere, which is, I don't know why you'd be here then if you were living in a cave, but, and you didn't know anything was going on. But just to bring you up to speed, it's 2022. Things are pretty chaotic, and yeah, that pretty much brings you up to speed. But one thing that COVID has really messed up for me is my sermon preparation plans, and one such thing is a series I've been wanting to do for some time. And I'll try to explain this to you briefly. You may remember, and hopefully you do, several years ago, I want to say it was last May, no, that was 2020 in May-ish, somewhere like that, when we came to you, and it might have even been before that, as the church, and we gave you a handout that had categories for our mission statement, and you were to fill out ideas of what you thought that fit. Does anybody remember that? About two of you? In fact, I came up here last night to see what was in here, and I found the stack of papers we used here. But we adopted as a church board a mission statement, and I appreciate the idea that some had for creating that. And if you look in your bulletin, the top of your bulletin on the left-hand side, you'll see the mission statement is always printed in the bulletin now. And I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's one thing that we wanted to do. If there's like, say we do promotional pens or flyers or whatever, we're going to be including that mission statement on those items. I'll read it to you, our mission statement, and I love it. It's exalt God. Evangelize the lost, equip the believers, extend into the community. And I wanted to specifically draw your attention to our mission statement and direct you as a congregation, kind of what's on my heart, put this into practice in your lives. And I was planning to do this in a series over several Sundays, and that was in 2020. And as you know, when COVID hit, we were really uncertain how to proceed, and I was like, this is not the time to present it. We've got a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fears, and just, this isn't right timing. So I held off, and our crowds, as you know, were very thin, and time went on, and my purpose in waiting was hopefully things will get back to normal, and we'll all be here at one time, and that hasn't happened, although this is a good crowd here this morning. And as we entered into the new year, I just felt like, you know what, it's time now. I think we're going to start this. And here is my desire, and I hope I can come across in the right way, and you can hear my heart here, but I want to share my concern. I hope, now that we've been in this for long enough that the technology is there and it's kind of old hat, I hope that even if you're not here on Sunday, you still are in our service by watching online. I know, like I said, we're getting familiar with it, and it's kind of like, I may watch it, I may not. I trust you're really being serious about that. Not that I'm a pleasure to watch or anything, or good to listen to, any of that kind of thing, but we're told in Scripture we're not to forsake the assembling ourselves together, and I recognize that we're not assembling if you're online. But the other thing I want to say is I hope you haven't fallen into the camp that so many people across the nation, probably across the world, have fallen into since COVID hit, and that is, it's a lot easier just to do church at home. Just sit on your couch and don't have to get ready, and you can just lounge around, and it's just great. There is no substitute for being in person together. It's just, there's nothing like it. And I recognize there are times when you can't. I understand that. So just this, that's all together. Make sure our priorities are straight, that we put church in the priority it needs to be. Because being careless with that, it's not worth it. It's vital. So all that being said, if you find for some reason over the next, which I'm thinking is going to be four Sundays, if you find for some reason you can't make it, would you please watch it at least online so at least you can be up to date? And again, not because I think what I have to say is so great or that my voice is so pleasant to listen to. I just want us to be all on the same page here and all in the same area. If nothing else, you can listen to it if you're having trouble sleeping, and that should help. I think Pam told me the other week or something she was having trouble sleeping. She called me, I was like, what, and you're asking me for one of my messages to send to you or what? So like I said, I think this is going to take four Sundays. That's my plan anyway. And I've included those handouts. Within those handouts, basically what it is a compilation of what you wrote on that survey and what I put together to put on our website. If you access our website, you might have noticed on the top there's a new tab that says our mission statement. And under that mission statement is what you have printed there in your flyer or in your handouts. And so I think you can figure out that our four Sundays will be each category of our mission statement. And I'm calling this series Montgomery's Mission. And I want our church here at Montgomery to adopt this mission as a group together, and then also individually put this into practice in our lives. So our mission statement again, exalt God, evangelize the lost, equip the believers, extend into the community. And we're going to start today with exalt God. So look at your handout. I'll read part of that. Just follow along with me. To exalt means to praise. Psalms 34, verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Before anything else is accomplished, we want to make sure we give the praise that is due to our Heavenly Father. It is only through His love and grace that we live and move and have our being, as it says in Acts 17:28. Therefore, we want everything we do to bring honor and glory to Him. How does that play out in our lives? Of course, immediately we think of worship within the church. Do our times of worship and praise, our prayers and our teaching and preaching bring glory to God? Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. I've also included places there for you to take notes if you'd like to write notes down. So what is worship? What is heartfelt worship? What does that look like? From the very beginning, human beings were created to worship. It could be a child being in awe of a superhero, a teen idolizing a professional athlete, or a young girl just dreaming of being as beautiful as that supermodel. And we see that all around us. It seems like everyone has an idol they worship. I'm not into sports that much. Maybe golf I watch a little bit more than something else, but just about every teenage boy has a sports idol they pretend to be at some point in time, many times. I remember as a kid, My brother and I idolized two of our cousins, two boy cousins. They were some of the older cousins, and now they're upper 40s and 50. Yikes. We idolized them. And most of you know the Hardy Boys, the mystery series, the great mysteries they solved and the incredible scrapes they got out of. I mean, they were incredible. They had a knack of getting out of crazy stuff. And they were only 17 and 18 at the time, and they still are. I mean, that's been since the 20s. It's amazing how that works. And I remember reading those and thinking, 17 and 18, wow, to be that old, incredible. Now they're little kids. Yet my brother and I, pretending to be our cousins that we idolized, were above the Hardy Boys. They were lower than us. They were in our gang. And we had a whole gang of kids that, well, they weren't kids, they were men at that time, that were under us. And I mean, there was probably 12 or 14 that we had arranged imaginary. They were real people in books, but we had some pretty good missions. Unfortunately, I was always the one that got captured, and then my brother had to come rescue me, and I don't know why that was. But I look back on that, and I realize how foolish that was. But I've since grown up and put away those childish things. But the only problem with young people idolizing or worshiping someone is that there are times when they become dissatisfied with who they are, what they look like, and they start to feel worthless. And this worship or idolization can apply to adults. How many times have you seen someone want to achieve the highest possible position in a company? They focus their attention, they're passion on that goal, they worship that goal. And again, we see this happening. It's not necessarily wrong to want that, but it can lead to problems. Many times the person doesn't care who they hurt in the process, whether it's family that suffers because they're never around or coworkers that get mistreated. You name it, it happens. God created Adam and Eve to worship him. But his wishes were ignored when they obeyed Satan disguised as a serpent. You all know the story, and they ate the fruit. Their focus was being like God instead of worshiping God. And since that time, many people have put just about anything imaginable before God. This is why the Bible instructs us to not put things before God. Exodus 22 and 3, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And through these scriptures, we realize that putting anything before God is a sin. It's easy to do. How many times do we do it? We put our families before God, we don't even realize it. How quickly can we become focused on a job or a task and we realize that God doesn't have first place anymore? Giving God first place and worshiping him should be our first and highest calling. Then to follow up with this, I'd like to read several scriptures that describe worship to our great God. Revelation 4, verse 8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Isaiah 6, verse 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Psalm 72, 18 and 19, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Some fancy words there, some powerful words, some glorious words. God is holy. The whole earth and everything above the earth speaks of his majesty. We're to worship his majesty. The most common Hebrew word that translated into English that deal with worship means bowing down, doing homage. The most common Greek words dealing with worship basically mean showing reverence, to serve, to minister. And as a group, as a church, we put these together, we realize that worship involves things like awe, reverence, respect, It also can involve actions like bowing and praising and serving. So we can see that worship is objective. We can focus on the object that we're worshiping, which should be God. During the tenure of the great orator Henry Ward Beecher, a visiting minister, which happened to be Beecher's brother, once substituted for the popular pastor. A large audience had already assembled to hear Beecher, and when the substitute pastor stepped into the pulpit, several disappointed listeners began to move to the exits. That's when the minister stood and said loudly, "All who came here to worship Henry Ward Beecher may now leave. If you've come to worship God, stay in your seats." That's convicting, isn't it? Because how many times do we follow a person and not God? Worship is also subjective, meaning that we are affected by our worship. How many times have you felt better after giving God praise? How many times have you felt better after hearing someone else give praise to God? We need to realize how incredible and awesome God is. He is so much beyond what we can even imagine or comprehend. Scripture says that we can only stand in awe. Psalms 8, 3 and 4, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited him?" And verse 9, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." Do we stand in awe in the presence of our Creator? David said in Psalms 51, 16 to 17, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O Lord, you will not despise." And we need to realize we're nothing without God. We need to be humble and broken before him, realize that he doesn't need anything impressive, just realize that we need him. Another thing to mention is that worship is praise to God. It's not to put on a show. It is sickening to watch people worship only because others are watching. God isn't impressed with the show. He is impressed by sincerity. Your worship may be nothing. It may be absolute stoic quietness, no words, no movement, but yet in your spirit, you're quietly reflecting on what Jesus has done. You do it your way, but worship, exalt God. Let's not focus on what worship should look like, but rather focus on the one we should be worshiping. Jesus comes when he's worshiped. After attending church one Sunday morning, a little boy knelt at his bedside and said, "Lord, we had a good time in church today, but I wish you could have been there." You ever think about that? Is God here? Can we say that about our worship here at Montgomery? Can we feel God's presence? Does he feel welcome here? I'm glad I can say that I have felt God here. In worship, feeling God's presence is what matters. And sure, we have all our own different preferences of what worship should look like and what style is used and whether you should sway and clap or whether you should sit quietly. That doesn't really matter. The most important thing is that we are of the same mind in that we are to worship the one who saved us by his grace. And then let's talk about individually, what does worship and exaltation look like? So often we think of worship, we think of it occurring within the church building. But as I've told you many, many times, the church isn't a building, it's a people. So the church comes into a building to worship. And it might be easier, if you can use that term, to focus more on worship when you're inside the church building. But worship certainly shouldn't only occur there. And more than that, worship better not only occur in church. See, I think what happens is that we often view worship as a group effort, and as enjoyable and as much of a blessing it is to be a part of a group that worships God, worship needs to be a part of our everyday lives. Now, read from your handouts again. How about as individuals? How can each individual exalt God? Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is our desire that each of our lives reflect our desire to exalt God. What better way to bring praise to God than to do what pleases Him? Is our life a reflection of the thanksgiving that should be in our hearts for all that God has done for us? Does God have first place in our lives? These are questions we must answer with our lives as individuals if we want to show our friends and neighbors that we exalt God above everything else. There's a song that says, "Let my life song sing to you." It is our goal to live our lives as a song of praise to God for all that He has done for us. And I'd like to talk about that section for a little bit. If I were to be honest, I really think this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. It isn't hard, if you use the term hard to praise, and I don't know if those go together, but it's not hard to exalt God in church. But what about day to day? See, so often we think of worship as exalting God, as praising Him. And that's true. It needs to be praising Him. But exalting God goes way farther than praising Him. Do you realize that we can worship and exalt God simply by sitting by a stream, walking in the woods, enjoying majestic views from tall mountains? That's where I'm closest to God. You know, I've worshiped God while I was skiing. I know that doesn't sound very spiritual, but I have. I can't get tired of the scenery, the nature that God has created. And you know, I've also worshiped God on a golf course, as long as I'm playing well. But I'm serious, I love nature. And when I see God's handiwork, it causes me to take a step back and worship the Creator. And we often put ourselves in a box of how our worship is to look. But when we step outside of our church building, our worship must fill our everyday lives. If it doesn't, then something is off spiritually. Do you know that you can exalt God by pouring out your heart to Him and laying your petitions at His feet? How is that worship? It's including God in our points of need. He wants to be part of all of our day, not just our good times. And I'm going out on a limb here, but I truly believe we can also worship and exalt God by sharing our deepest emotions with Him. And that includes when we're questioning God and even when we're angry with Him. I've been disagreed with on this point, and if you disagree with me, I'm not offended. That's fine. I just feel strongly about this, that God wants to be ourselves with Him. He already knows all about us, so why not talk to Him about it? Why is suddenly telling God that I'm angry with Him so wrong when I'm already feeling it, and He already knows all about that? I think showing our vulnerability and humility before our Lord and Creator is an act of worship in showing God, here I am, every part of me. But another part of our individual worship, daily worship, is our testimony, leaving a testimony of what Jesus has done in our lives is a huge act of worship, and it exalts God. When I was in business and doing lawn care and landscaping and someone praised my work, it felt really good. It was encouraging. I was proud of the work I did, if I can use that word proud in the right way. I took pride in my work. But do you know what was even better? When someone told a friend about my work and they hired me too. That was more rewarding. And that is what, as Christians, we can praise God for what He's done for us, but even a bigger step of praise is to tell someone else about Him. I mentioned the title to the song, "Let My Life Song Sing to You." I want to read the words, maybe you've heard it. "Empty hands held high, such small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the words I say and the things I do make my life song sing, bring a smile to you. Let my life song sing to you. Let my life song sing to you. I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you. Lord, I give my life a living sacrifice to reach a world in need, to be your hands and feet. So may the words I say and the things I do make my life song sing to you, bring a smile to you. Hallelujah, let my life song sing to you. Have you used the phrase, I know you've heard me use it often, that's my favorite song. And I use that for more than one song, so I have a lot of favorites. But think about it this way. What if Jesus is sitting in heaven and watching our lives, and we know he is? What if he sees our life, our actions, our testimonies, and they're exalting him? Our testimonies, our actions, and all that are exalting God. He's going to say, that's my favorite song. So let's each one of us evaluate our daily lives, see if we're exalting God like we should. It's not a question to brush off. It's easy to exalt God in church because everybody's watching. But what about day to day? And you know what? I examined that myself, and I'm not totally sure I'm happy with the answer. And I realize this is serious. We need to work on this. I need to work on this personally. I want my life to sing a song of praise and exaltation to my Lord and Savior. So that is the first part of our mission statement, exalt God. Are we doing that? Are we doing it as a church? Are we doing it as individuals? I'd like to close this service, and won't have the song leader come up. I'll give him a break, since he wasn't on the schedule anyway. But if Karen would come up, I would like to sing two worship songs. "297." And I know we haven't to sing for a long time. But I'd like you to stand if you feel comfortable doing that. Because I'd like to have a time of closing worship to the Lord. So stand with me. Song 297, we're going to start with that one. And then we're going to flip back two pages to 295. And we're going to sing this, each one of these through twice. And I just want you to worship and exalt God today.
Magnify, come. eternity, I'll sing his praises, and I'll reign with him throughout eternity. All hail, King Jesus, all hail, Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing his praises.
Father, we exalt your name above all names. It's powerful, it's wonderful, it's amazing. We can't use words to comprehend it, but we praise you for your great name. Help us as a church, help us individually, that our lives exalt you in everything that we do. That when people see us, they will see you through us, and that they will see you exalted. Help us to take this very seriously. Help each one of us to take this seriously, myself included, that we would determine that we are going to exalt you with our lives. We thank you and we praise you for all that you have done. In your name, amen.